everyone. Welcome to another edition of Igayutet, where Esther Green and I talk about ways of using our minds or other conversations that you may find helpful or interesting. And Esther, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing good, and I'm glad we're here.
Me too. We're recording in the KYUK studio, which is good, because today in our show, we're going to talk a little bit about radio and public radio and kind of the way we both came to learn about public radio when we were younger, and then talk a little bit about our show, our podcast, Igayutet. And we're doing this because there's concern that with budget cuts, KYUK might have to close a lot of its programming in January. So we thought, oh, you know what? Let's talk about radio. I'll go ahead and start. I remember when I was a little girl, I had a hard time sleeping. And this would have been like in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so my grandmother had given me a little transistor radio, the kind that takes a D battery. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you would just kind of have to move the dial real carefully to finally find a station.
Yeah.
So at night, I would move the dial and try to find a talk radio show. And at the time, there weren't very many, but Larry King had a talk radio show. And I would hear that, and I'd put the radio under my pillow, and then I would just listen to the voices, and for whatever reason, that just helped me go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a kid, so I didn't understand what these grown-ups were talking about, or people would call in and give comments, but I felt kind of attached to radio because that experience as a girl. And the battery would run out on the little radio. And my mom couldn't understand, why does this battery go out so fast? And she didn't know that I had the radio on all night under my pillow. So periodically I go, Mom, I need another battery for the radio. What? So anyway, that's kind of like, gives me a warm feeling, like when I'm listening to radio, especially public radio. And I'm wondering, what was your start with public radio?
Well, news reading. You pick news reading.
Oh, you used to do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right here in this room. Not in this room, but the other room where you can be on TV.
Right, that's right. And even now, KYUK has a TV station that people can watch the different shows that KYUK has on a TV if they want. Yeah. So, gosh, that must have been probably a long time ago. Why do you think it was important that they have a Yukden newsreader like you?
Because people need to know what's going on, and especially they were thinking, I mean, KYUK was thinking of elders and those who have limited English.
Right. Oh, back then,
yeah.
That's right.
Back then.
Yeah. Okay. And so you would do the radio shows, you would do the Yukden translation for the news.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing was written in Yupik. Everything was English. But what's nice about it is 30 minutes before the news hour starts, we're given the news that I was given a news that I have to do in Yupik.
Oh, you didn't have a long time to prepare.
Nothing was written. everything was written in English.
Mm-hmm. And so you had to kind of translate on the fly. Well, that's a great service, and we still have that at KYUK today, that we do have Yukden translation for the news. The other thing I wondered about, a long time ago, before public radio, out in the region, people would communicate with VHF.
Uh-huh.
How do you think having a public radio like that got started, how do you think that was good for the region?
Because, you know, it just stays on. It doesn't stay on for a couple hours like VHF does.
Mm-hmm.
KYUK had full when it can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot more that people could hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about how, like, in our region, people are so spread out. We don't have a road system. There's 55 villages. What do you think the other important thing is about
KYUK, gave rural Alaskans a feeling of connection with those outside of the region.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's such an important part of public radio, is that way that people could feel connected outside of the region.
Yeah.
Really, I really like that. And something else we talked about, well, one other thing I was going to say is, like, growing up, I also really liked, there would be radio, public radio shows that were, like, murder mysteries, not, you know, just, like, stories, not real stories, but just they would have people acting, and so there would be shows like that where you could listen to actors doing stories, and I really appreciated that. Another really good role that it seems public radio has is in educating. It was like an education system in a way.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And it would seem like, it was really natural.
It make us feel like we have, it's natural to have radio go out to everyone, like it was part of us.
Yeah.
You leave nobody.
I know. That's I like that part, too. Everyone can access public radio if they have a radio. Because remember, a long time ago, not everybody had a television set.
Mm-mm.
So radio was that much more important because you didn't have another way of getting news or hearing what might be happening in, like, Florida or, you know, England or something, you know, when they had the news stories on.
And these people just coming in here to do our record, I can, in my imagination, I can see Peter Twitchell.
Oh, yeah. What was his show? Call the Doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that show like?
Call the Doctor.
Yeah.
I wasn't involved in that, but I... During the course hours of my busy time teaching at school, it must have been good because it had a schedule to be on. Always never skip.
Really Peter, consistent.
Peter Twitchell. Handle that.
And he would interview, like, medical professionals.
He could interview preachers.
Mm. Oh, everyone.
Retired people. He could interview anybody.
He was good about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, in a way, he could, like, bring topics and conversation that might not usually get talked about, but now everybody gets to hear and sort of be a part of that conversation that they're listening to. I really like that. Do you remember any other shows that stand out for you over the years?
I know Peter Twitchell's programs, because he did it all in Yupik, no English.
Wow, that's great.
And makes it really fit to my Yupikness.
Your Yupikness, that's true. And what about, remember the show, I think you were telling me about a show before where they would like give like how to care for your subsistence food, give ideas for taking care of what you had gathered or what you had fished or hunted. Do you remember a show like that? Was there a show about food preservation?
That one, in our way, sometimes. And there was English education from Pat, what's her? Not economist.
Anyway, someone named Pat did a show. What kind of show did Pat?
She has programs like cooking, gathering, or something like that. But she was Kasuk.
Okay, good.
But it was good for those of us who don't know how to do it like the right way. Something.
You mean in terms of some of the cooking?
Yeah.
And because also there was new food coming into the region.
Yes.
You know, now there were like village store or people might come to Bethel and buy other kinds of food and they needed to learn how to prepare, you know, sort of this other food that you didn't, you know, gather or hunt for.
So he, KYUK gave us more ideas as we learn, as we listen. The things that we never thought of before. They come slip into our mind, and we have to look at it and feel it, and if it's good, we want it in the air. So everybody can.
Exactly. So everyone.
And then we learn more from other people making comments and so forth. So it's really nice.
It's like, isn't it like KYUK or public radio in rural areas? It's like the public radio station becomes a community member.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you feel connected to what you're hearing, and then what you're hearing is helping you connect to yourself and to your community and to the world. And I often think of it like that, like your public radio station, it's a community member, and it interacts with you, and you interact with it.
We just have to become good friends with.
Yes. Our public radio station is becoming our good buddy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so difficult to think that it might have to close a lot of its shows, right? Because it kind of has a feeling like you're attached to it. And probably, have you ever had it where you've played your radio, you've played KYUK in the background while you're doing housework or while you're cutting fish? Yeah. It's like it's a buddy in the background.
Even not so long ago, when I was going back and forth to fish camp, I have KYUK radio on, and I blasted because I'm outside cutting fish. Turn it away. Boats pass by. a lot of hands wave.
As you're cutting fish and blasting your radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really nice. That's a nice way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, because I blasted so loud, my life was secured from any kind of animal that may be roaming around looking for food.
Oh, okay. It kind of scared off animals.
Yeah.
Well, that's another use of public radio I had never thought of before, but that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we have this big idea about radio and the role it's played and the role it's played in the region. Let's talk about some of our shows, because mm-hmm. then a few years ago we decided that we would have a podcast called Igayutat, that means helpful, and that we would talk about different things, but we would make it a conversation between this Gusak person and this Yupik elder, and it would be a conversation back and forth.
Yeah.
And when you think about how we started our show, what kind of thoughts do you have about it?
I was scared at first because I never never did this before.
Right.
Yeah.
I never did a podcast either. So we were both kind of new.
Yeah. But anyway, it was a good thing. I'm right now, the way I feel about it is I'm glad I didn't back off. And I'm glad I did that, go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio station, whether you know it or not, some way, somehow, encouraging me to help Gusaks or Yupiks through communication like this.
Right, right. Yeah.
I learned it in KYUK.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I feel that way. I was a little bit nervous, too, at first. And then once we started doing it, it got easier and easier.
Yeah.
I was a little bit nervous in the beginning. And then we got so that we could really share what our thoughts were on different kinds of topics. And I really appreciated that. And, you know, part of our podcast is based on, well, we've known each other for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I have gone to breakfast at Red Basket every weekend for over 15 years. And so we can, I don't think we could have done this podcast when we first knew each other.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have known how to talk back and forth. Yeah.
Podcast wasn't in our life.
No.
So
in a way, we kind of had to grow into being able to do a podcast together where we're both really comfortable doing that. So when we, I'm thinking about what we hope for people when they listen to our show. You know, what kind of things do we hope that they'll experience hearing our conversation together each month?
My hope for all the listeners is we've come this far to this right this minute. And what we remembered through our podcast has surfaced up, and it became alive again.
Yeah. Yep.
So even me, as a participant in this thing,
mm-hmm.
I keep reminding myself too.
Yeah.
So I like it. When it's alive and keep moving forward. I hope it does.
I know. I do too.
And it is, it's so wonderful to talk about what happened, what could happen about our culture in the past. And how things don't stay the same. They change along the way to right up to this minute. And those are good for our treasures, you know, to store in us.
Yeah. I think, like, public radio has helped that happen.
Yes.
Yeah, the way the keeping alive and in people's minds different aspects of the culture, things that are changing, ideas about how that change happens. And then just, you know, like KYUK has shows about fishing, Yuktuyuk, where people can call in Yukden and just share back and forth.
Public radio. It talks to everyone who it can reach, saying fishing is from 1 to 6 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's other important things, too, like, you know, weather information, storms, if there's emergency kind of fires or other kinds of safety information, search
thin
and rescue.
Thin ice when it first freezes.
Right, the ice conditions.
Yeah, ice conditions.
That's really been helpful to communities because probably with public radio, you can trust it.
Yeah.
You know, you trust that you're hearing the right reports and that the people at the station, the staff and the reporters are making sure they're very aware of what is important to share, and they're making sure it gets collected and produced and put on the air in a way that people can hear it well and understand and make use of it. Yeah.
So
I feel the same way about our show that you do. Like, I hope people, first, that they just kind of enjoy hearing you and I talk together.
Yeah.
And then some of the ideas we share about, like, we usually do shows a lot about the mind, using the mind in a good way, ways of having gratitude in life. Ways of understanding hardship in our life, that they're kind of like jewels, you know, that we want to share about. And so I think that's been really important, and meaningful. And I was thinking about, you know, what it might be like. And you said if we didn't have, for example, KYUK with all the shows and then broadcasts, and because the U.S. government provides some of the funding, which the current administration is cutting out. But when you think about the U.S. government helping support public radio, what does that feel like?
It feels like the government cared about us, even though we live in remote places.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of cool to think that your government is making sure that even if you live way out there, you have access that everyone across the country has access to in terms of stories and news and public radio. And It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
And that's really important, right? Because mm-hmm. that way it is for everyone, you know. When you think about losing it, what does that feel like to think about losing it?
Sad.
Yeah.
It's like something closed its door and locked it, can't open it.
Oh, no, that's such a good, oh, man, that is a good way to put it. But that's that is hard. That is hard, that's for sure.
Even I walk by this way, here's the door, can't open it, it's locked.
Oh, no. Yeah, they've locked us out in a way and kind of locked us out of that connection we talked about earlier, how public radio can help you feel connected to the world, you know, and not just on your own in a village in a very remote place. Yeah, that's true. Well, Esther, I think that's going to be our show for today. We just wanted to touch base on public radio and you and I as podcasters.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I said that. We as podcasters and how we feel connected to public radio. And just wanted to share that with people because we are looking at possible closures in January. And so we just want to touch on that today. Mm-hmm. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And wish you well. And we'll have another podcast for you next month. Thank you for listening to Igayutit, hosted by Diane McGachran and Esther Green, produced by KYUK.